By 1500, Europe already had a very different picture of the world. New evidence accumulated by navigation and observation competed against and began to overturn old truths. In 1487 to 1488, the Portuguese pilot Bartholomew Dias found the southern tip of Africa. 10 years later, his compatriot Vasco da Gama navigated around it, then up Africa's east coast and across the Indian Ocean to the port of Calicut, or Kozhikode, the city of spices. His voyage proved Ptolemy wrong. The Indian Ocean was not landlocked after all. That news, in turn, threatened the viability of communities all along the Silk Roads between Asia and Europe. Vastly lucrative overland trade routes that had been built atop the belief that no sea route existed. Of less significance to contemporaries, but of more importance to world history, in 1492, Christopher Columbus, himself in search of a new sea route to Asia, hit upon the island of Hispaniola, today's Haiti and Dominican Republic. He had found the New World, specifically the Caribbean. John Cabot, sent by the British, found North America in 1497. Their successes fueled ever bolder truth and treasure seeking. The Portuguese continued to develop their sea route eastward to Asia. Da Gama had sailed back to Lisbon with few significant treasures, but over the next 5 years, more than a dozen Portuguese expeditions, carrying some 7,000 men, pressed the advantage his discoveries had won. Armed with gunpowder, they conquered Hormuz in 1507, then, as now, a choke point for all trade through the Persian Gulf, the West Indian port of Goa in 1510, and Malacca, a spice hub, in 1511. By 1513, they had reached China's southern ports and were running a near monopoly on trade through the Indian Ocean. Westward, the Spanish conquistador Hernán Cortés followed in Columbus's wake, landing in Hispaniola in 1504 and helping to push Spanish authority upon Cuba, 1511 to 1518, and inland upon the Aztecs living in present-day Mexico, 1518 to 1520. Apart from their cities full of wealth, the Aztecs boasted some of the world's most fertile cropland and had devised sophisticated irrigation to produce great quantities of maize, squash, and beans. Anxious not to be left out of this new age of empire-making, in 1524 the French sent Giovanni da Verrazzano to penetrate North America's east coast, and in 1534 sent Jacques Cartier on his first of three forays up the St. Lawrence River. By far the most ambitious quest was undertaken by Ferdinand Magellan, 1480 to 1521, who in 1519, like Columbus before him, sailed westward out of Spain in search of a route to Asia. He guessed that, like Africa's, South America's southern tip would also prove navigable, and that by sailing around it he could reach the Spice Islands, Indonesia, much faster than by sailing east. He was half right. He found his southern passage, and the Straits of Magellan are named in his memory. He also discovered a new ocean on the other side and named it the Pacific, for its favourable breezes. By that choice of names, Magellan betrayed Europe's last great ignorance about world geography. Still working from Ptolemy's ancient projections, he had estimated the distance westward from Spain to Asia to be some 130 degrees of longitude. In fact, it is 230 degrees, and Magellan's so-called Pacific makes up the difference. The world's largest, wildest ocean, it spans 130 million square kilometers, one-third of the entire globe. Five ships and 237 men sailed west from Spain. 3 years of hunger, murder, mutiny, and shipwreck later, a single ship carrying 18 crew made it back, and, by their circumnavigation, gave Europe definitive proof of the Earth's size and shape. Cartography's crowning achievement in this age of discovery was the world map by Gerard Mercator, 1512 to 1594, published in 1569. He incorporated decades of exploration.